Dr. Bolad's Reel 3.
A doctor's coming from outside, bringing messages, dentists, and some workers, civilian workers have been employed in prison. Even one Ukrainian guard, he was working for an Grand Bureau, and he was bringing messages for us. So when somebody arrested, important, we knew and like to have contact in prison. What Gestapo asking them? And they give it small paper like cigarettes, very tiny cigarettes paper and pen to write what Gestapo have been asking them. But usually we name, you know, we have, how we say in English, hustle. My name was in the underground Korab. Korab.
A cover name.
Cover name. So if I come to this prisoner, it's his cover name. He knew that I know him. That I come from underground movement. And then we give the paper for him and write. Every prisoner who comes to must be examined by me, the Gestapo, me and another two doctors. Because they've been afraid that they have nurses, or the Jewish people. The Jewish have, you know, circumcision. So when I examine every patient, there I must say if he is circumcised or not. But this man, Schreiber, this Jewish man, Berman, Eric, he came to us and he said, if he's not Jewish, they don't know that he's Jew, so we didn't say that he's circumcised. If they already know that he's Jew, he came to us and said, they already know, you must say that he's circumcised to cover us. That was great, this work. He was big help for us. Father on, when I examine, I said that he's half religious, pubic religious.
Pubic?
Tuberculosis. That to remember the Gestapo standing here.
Lice, pubic lice.
Pubic lice, sorry. Gestapo man standing here, where I said, he's lice. And some, the man said, no, I haven't. Gestapo said, don't shout, nothing. The doctor said, that you have, you have. To the other room. And they took that other room, safe there, and you know, they have, you know, maybe spirit or something to, you know, when they've done that. Then we give him the message from come outside and send him to write. You know, this is the role that's going to play that. And he write and give for us, we send it away. Again, the other way. And every patient from our ward, from this in prison, we take to the hospital, or hosio, to be examined in the hospital. And messages we are living in the hospital, and the people who are coming from outside, they're going to the hospital and taking to it. This is underground working there in prison. So I was working that for them for since beginning to July. Suddenly in June, about 20th of June or something like that, they came, that they took me from my cell when I working as doctor and covered for the ordinary cell. And they are going to concentration camp. No? But I'm going to concentration camp. So later on, I said, why? And one Gestapo said, settle. You know, the letters. That I give the letters. When they, what was going on? When they got the Gestapo asking about the other prisoner, when they examine somebody, they are going later to arrest, and they suspect somebody. Everybody was not alone. So they knew them some leakages from the prison. And one prison said that he received a letter from outside from doctor. You know, three of us been, but they suspect me, and you know, and I go to concentration camp. But before that, yes, I will say, before that, excuse me, they call me once again for interview, to Gestapo. In the meantime, my wife found the way to Gestapo. He paid money for them to release me. They took the bribery. They take me for interview. Interview, they ask me that, you know, they said to me that very polite, that you are you are lying to us. We know who you are. Your name is in underground Korat, they said. You've been chief medical officer underground. You are British spy for this whole district there, you know. So we know that already. But we like to find this commanding officer, Lubitsch. We like to catch him. But June 1944, that is here. I said to them, I don't know. I am not a medical officer underground. No, I haven't been underground. But they said to me that you are only one medical, only one doctor arrested in this company. There must be you. I said, look, that administrative work, that everybody can do this work, not only medical man. I tell them. So they don't listen to that, they didn't say nothing, but they, after my wife in bravery, they said, you are a very good doctor, I am suffering from kidney trouble. Could you tell me, please, what kind of treatment I could have? They asked. So they told him everything, what I knew. And that finished. On about 26, concentration camp. They took me to concentration. They settled that I give the letters. Concentration camp. So they sent me to concentration camp, Gross Rosen.
In July?
1st of July, 1944.
How were you transported there?
About 15 railway track, about 15 in one railway track. Guard, two guards in every railway track.
Were they all Poles in your transport? Polish resistance?
Polish resistance, most of them, yes. A few Russian, a few, very few Russian. I said, I didn't tell you before, in my, when I was working as, you know, in this hospital, in the prison, every night the Gestapo man was going to check up, the guard, every cell. And we have three cells with British people, British soldiers. One was in civilian clothing, because he lived in the Polish family, you know, but they discovered that he's British. Another in uniform, two uniform. And one day, and every day, you know, going, I am giving him cigarettes. So it's very important to give the cigarettes. I could give that cigarettes for them. One day we come into one sergeant. And he said, the Gestapo said, man, to him, when I am speaking to you, you must stand to attention to me. And the sergeant said, I will stand to attention to only the British officer, to nobody else. Yes, he's in prison. And he shouted at him, and he turned to his back. And he later on, when we began his checkup again in the evening, this sergeant always turned his back. And he only said, send me to prison of war camp. What happens with them, I don't know.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Do you know anything else about him?
No, nothing. Because they've been only 3 or 4 days and they take them away.
How had they captured them?
We don't know. Being on the cart, you know, we don't know. This one, one was this one who once speak Polish with a longer time. You know, they catch him because he look on traffic light, on traffic, crossing the water of the road. He look
the wrong way.
Wrong way. They started to look after that, and the accent, he had accent, you know, different accent, and that came like that.
So these were British agents.
British agents. Another was being a work one with different word. Was a British agent, they kept him over here. He said, was Kennedy. Name was Kennedy. Elegant one, very cultured one. But they did not know he was a Polish or British. Very good English. He spoke very good English. And they treated him very well. Gave him book to read and so on.
Why do you think they treated him well?
I don't. They thought that he's British class, spy, and they did not know that maybe he's British. And they don't know what he for is. They cannot work it out. Over a year, you know, Kennedy. I know Kennedy name, but either false name or someone would know.
How were you treated in Gross Rosen?
Oh, in Gross Rosen. In Gross Rosen, when I came after, a week in Stripe to be in the office, Polish people, they know that Polish doctor came, so they employed me as a doctor. After a week, straight away as a doctor in the hospital. So I was working in the hospital there for a week. And after 1 week, all camp was there on Sunday, in the midday. They not call your name, only your number. My number was 2972, I remember like today, there in Gross Rosen. And they called 2972. And he must run to the upper to the star. So I ran there, and they ask, what for? Sergeant Major, Mr. Gestapo. And he said, I don't know, it's came from Warsaw. So I know what happens to me. They put me on the side, and another Polish prisoner, I did not know them because I've been only a week in this camp. Three of us. And they order us with Gestapo to go to the other camp. This man who was young in the camp there, he said, now, they, of course, I'll be Einspritzung, maybe they give us
an injection.
Injection to kill us, or to punishment company. If you turn to the left, we are going to punishment company. If you turn to the right, we are going to Einspritzung for killing. It was terrible, it was over 100 yards. We were walked with this Gestapo down there and turned to the left. Punishment company. So they shave us cross over the head.
Shaved your head.
Shaved head and a cross as well.
Shaved one track across and one track up and down.
Down, yes. Cross on that. And give you special clothing, like zebra with a red stripes, red one. Punishment company. And they came, that was another two Polish people there in the punishment company. They call Sonderkommando. Sonderkommando consists of 16 people of us, 10 German criminals. Who've been in concentration camp for killing people and who done something wrong in the camp again. And they pulled the punishment company and 6 Polish people. Me, Polish prince, Radziwill, Polish prince was here, Polish count, who is dropped from England to Poland. Another Polish officer who dropped again from England to Poland and called him as well. And one professor of Polish university and one Polish businessman. And this 10 German criminals, this company. So work from 7 in the morning to 10 at night time in stone, in quarry. Beat it badly, as and and not enough food.
But how long could you survive on such work?
Difficult to say. I will tell you how it was difficult. Very short, you can say. I like to tell you that Father, when we came to the meal, they give soup, a little meat, horse meat, a little soup. And Prince, Graf, this is Graf, this means count, and doctor, no spoons. They enough, the poor people, to eat, enough. They eat without spoon. And for 6 weeks, or maybe longer, no, 6 weeks, I eat without spoon. Soup without spoon.
Just drinking like a cup?
Like a cup, you take it with a hand, with the three of us. And beat him badly. He beat us very badly. And you know, when this happens in the quarry, they blow up always, you know, to have new stones. And there was a power station. In the power station was Polish engineer, electrician. So he was a deputy chancellor, prisoner. And I met him because he was dropped as well from England to Poland. And they arrested him in Austria. But he already sent messages from Hungary to London. And they, when he escaped him, they arrested him in Austria. And and later on, he's a year in prison in Austria, Czechoslovakia, Warsaw, later concentration camp. That was 1942. Later in 1943, they sent him here as an electrical engineer from a Polish university. They employed him as engineer then, power station. And he there managed to have coffee. When they, at 10 o'clock, you know, fire is going and blew the stones, always he managed to bring for us coffee. That's a big help for us, and small piece of bread. You know, and you know, that extra food. Later on, at this quarry was working to 7 o'clock. After 7 o'clock, we were digging trenches, because British will be bombed, and they said. So, yeah, British spies, you must fences. No, so we're drinking the fences, and then Polish people, you know, bringing up extra food. And then there's some extra food, you know. And that happens that once these 10 Germans prisoners, they receive a lot of food from other Germans in the camp. Other, you know, everyone German have posts there, couple posts, you know, in charge of other prisoner. He can kill you, he can beat you, he can do everything with you. So they supply them with very good food. They are right, but we Polish people have very little. And then, I know how many weeks it went on, came German, and everybody have a triangle. Red triangle means politician, green bandit, black homosexual. German came, another German, to our camp, prison, to this expansion company with red triangle, political. The Germans with this criminal, they don't like nothing to do with him. And he has no friends there. He is hungry. Nobody could give him. He's German, but he's prisoner like you. I and my friend always giving him, you know, extra bread what we have. Deal with him. My friend received parcel from servant. He's from Poznan. Received for him parcel and ham. And he divided ham between prisoners, but not for the Germans, because Germans plenty to have to eat. But because he did give the Germans the ham, they told the capo who looked after us to beat him. He beat him so badly that he broke the ribs, got pneumonia, and died on the third day. Grosforsky's name. He died on the third day after beating. So I was friendly with him and with the German as well. Later on, we parading. Parade every day, especially on Sunday. And come Commandant Sunday there, and he said that Sonderkommando cannot parade very well. And the Gestapo said to this German that you are the one who brought the machining, and to me, that we both cannot, you know, parade properly. And this German then said, I am a German officer and I know how the blood uses you, you bandit, what you are saying to me. And the same in Otihaya, I must parade. So he went to the work. When he went to the work, the Gestapo called this German to him, what you said to me, that I am a bandit. And he started to beat him with wood, with wood. Beat him so bad so that this officer was going to put the hand like that.
Over his head.
Over his head. He hit him very badly. But he survived. After 2 or 3 days, very suddenly, they called his the German to the church, to the office. He never came back, and he gone. And they called this capo back, and capo come to punishment companies as, you know, as prisoner to us. This one who beat us as well to us. And what happens, we found that this German, he was a Luftwaffe officer, and he was shot down over France. He was in charge of the plane, and he jumped first, and 6 other people did not jump, and they've been killed. So they, you know, sent him, they took his commission from him, and sent him to concentration camp and punishment company. But, you know, after that, not many pilots. No sharper pilots there have been. Never mind that he's there. They took him down back to the army. And he told them that he survived because of me, that I give him, you know, bread, and this Polish count gave him bread, but Polish count is already dead. And I give him bread. He survived only thanks to that. So a few days later on Sunday, parade again, and the camp commandant stand, and the Sonderkommando stop. Commandant stop, and he said, Dr. Austert, doctor, come out. I did not say doctor, I stand, and he pushed me out. And he told to me, Herr, sir, he said to me, camp commandant, sir, you are a very good man. Very good man. I am sorry, a very good doctor I had, but I am very sorry that he is a big enemy of German nation. But because he is a good man, I sent you to another concentration camp. Before your paper come there, they mean, they will employ you as a doctor, you will be a doctor there. No, it happens like that. And this day, Spain, they finished my. When I went back to the camp, they straightway took me to the barber to shave my hair, but there'd been a cross and that, different clothing, but more food, everything, and better clothing again. And they put me to the transport to the camp with the other prisoner that were about 500 with us. To armed by commando to Dresden. That was October 94. I remember that because my wife was birthday, 15 October, and it happens on my wife's birthday. So they sent us to Dresden, and Dresden would be employed to repair tracks, railway tracks, in one factory. One factory was, we stayed there, concentration camp, and 500 they brought from Warsaw, from Warsaw Resurrection there. 500 from there, so 1,000 people working there. And next camp was British prisoner of war camp in Dresden as well. Outskirts of Dresden.
So this was a work camp near Dresden?
The concentration camp, but work. Not concentration, still Gestapo. Gestapo, yes. Because the concentration camp, how many work camp around? And I worked there. I started as I survived the punishment company. That the German prison came as well with us to this camp. As I survived punishment company, they considered prominent prisoner. So when I came to the camp, they employed me as a doctor. French doctor, there one, and I second doctor, two of us in Dresden. And then I worked there until the bombing of Dresden.
But you were working as a doctor for the railway workers?
For the prisoner. No, for a prisoner, not worker.
But the prisoners were doing work on railways?
Not on the factory. That's a factory, a railway factory. Converting, repairing the railway tracks. That's a big factory. Barbed wire around everywhere. And, we cannot go nowhere. But we stay there.
What kind of medical conditions were you treating there?
Colds. Weaknesses, sometimes a lot of abscesses, like that, some injury, that's all. Me and the French doctor. And the director of this work was civilian, and he was very good. When he heard that I'm a doctor, when I 2 days I didn't work as a doctor, so he came straight away to me and said, I do everything to employ you as a doctor. So I worked there with this French doctor, to the bombing. That was 12 or 14 of February, 1945.
What do you remember about the Allied bombing of Dresden?
I remember very well. That's the first atoll. It came about 2 o'clock afternoon, came one plane, spotting plane. It came for, to make photo, I think, making photo. And one German said, oh, now we have bombing here. About 10 o'clock, the bombing started, 10 o'clock.